Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to a post-net neutrality episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio and Patrick Mifflin. Chris Logie will be joining us probably later on. So say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yo.
Even though we joke about it, there is a bit more to the net neutrality stuff you need to know about. Mostly, you don't need to panic immediately. there's still some stuff that still needs to be done before anything happens, but we'll be talking about that, and of course we'll be talking about the stuff that went down the election in Alabama. We'll also be talking about some entertainment news, including the fact that a certain mouse has managed to obtain 21st Century Fox's media asset. Finally. Yeah,
about goddamn times.
Yeah. And of course, you know, it's coming. We're on the cusp of Christmas. Yeah. We're going to be talking about stuff like that and all this and more on this episode of Let's Weekend. This is probably... Okay, so I'm not sure. Is this going to be... let's see. Do-do-do-do-do.
Actually, I don't think we're missing any Let's Weekends.
Okay, good. Wonderful. All right, just making sure. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Yeah, so I finished off listening to A Night Without Stars. It's good stuff. It really picked up towards the end. It like kind of built up momentum, and then, you know, all the characters that you'd actually want to hear about, you started to hear from. So that was a good thing. Yeah, it did pretty well. I'm not sure if this means Peter F. Hamilton's not going to be going back to the Commonwealth ever again, but it kind of led me to think that. But there's probably still stories left to tell in that world, and I hope he goes back to it. So it was all right. So I've also been watching episode 2 of The Grand Tour. Still excellent. They did one of their trademark car versus whatever races. Yeah, this week it was the new Ford GT versus a plane going from New York to the Canadian border at Niagara Falls. Normally wouldn't be such a big deal, but, James May was kind of playing with a handicap, and that handicap was Hammond.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, they just completely, like, just went with it. It's like, yeah, I nearly killed myself, but... I'm still working. So that's an interesting approach to things, I suppose. It was fun. If you have Amazon Prime, definitely listen to it. Listen to it. Watch it. It's a great show. I've also been listening to some music here and there. I listened to the new Evanescence album, Synthesis, which was better than it had any right to be. And managed to de-memify Bring Me to Life.
How did it do that?
By basically telling Paul McCoy to go fuck himself. So he's not in this version, and it's an orchestral mix. Think Evanescence's version of S&M. Good stuff. Also listened to the latest album from of all bands, Stryper.
Oh, yes.
And it is amazing. I would not have called that. They are now like a full, legit power metal band.
Yeah. Which album is this? The
Fallen.
New one?
Yeah.
Fallen.
Yeah. Super amazing. Wouldn't have expected that from them, but it seems like since they reformed a few years back, they've really gotten their mojo back. If you... we're kind of curious about Stryper. Might want to give them a listen. They're a lot better than a Christian metal band should sound.
This album actually came out in 2015.
Yeah, it was good. It's a couple years old now. But well worth a listen. So, yeah. And that's pretty much been my week. How about you, Pat?
I am going back and grinding Street Fighter V single-player content. because all of the single player content will stop yielding fight money as of January 15th, end of day.
Yeah.
So, time to get that fight money while you still can, and that's what I plan to do.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll have to go.
Like paying for stages.
Yeah. Yeah. I might just end up just buying the disc of Arcade Edition. Because I think it's probably going to end up costing me less to buy that than it would to upgrade myself, my digital copy.
Mm.
So.
Well, right now the two character packs are on sale for a combined $25.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm not sure what that comes out to Canadian, but
probably about $30, which isn't bad.
But it's still cheaper than the $40 that or whatever they're charging for the disc.
Yeah. And then I'd have to buy season 3, but you have to buy that anyway. So
Yeah,
I might give that a look.
And Chris just joined us. Say hey to everybody, Chris.
Hello, fuck Skype.
Yeah. it's the human condition, isn't it? But anyway, Chris, what have you been up to this week?
So I went and saw Star Wars this morning.
Oh, no spoilers, but was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It does a lot of things that you expect it to do, but also does a lot of things you don't.
Yeah.
And it's like how the episode 7 was very much like a New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not like Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
It definitely plays with some of your expectations. And, I was surprised a little bit by how much of the stuff that were in at least the first couple trailers, shows up right near the end. They don't really spoil anything. It's just, you see some scenes, like scenery and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's where that is. Okay.
Yep.
But yeah, it was pretty cool, and it was interesting going to an 8:30 showing for a movie
in the morning.
Yes,
because
I wasn't going to work until a little bit later, and had just enough time for that to work.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, on a Friday morning, it was not that packed. Mm. It's maybe like half full in the theater. So that was nice.
Mm.
If there was anything that was disappointing, it was I didn't see any like big Carrie Fisher tributes in the credits.
Hmm.
That's a shame.
Though I left pretty much right around the time I saw them doing the actor credits. So I saw like Carrie Fisher on there. It's like, all right, I've been here enough. I got to get to work.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they did something right at the end.
Probably.
But yeah, it was really nice to see. And it was pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to, I probably won't go see it anymore in the theater, but I'll be looking forward to the Blu-ray release too. Get another shot at it and just take in more of what happened.
Yeah. Analyze it obsessively.
Yeah. Yeah, because just watching it today, there's a lot of stuff that happens, and it's hard to parse all of it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to rewatch it in a few months. Also, been watching more Mythbusters. I'm on season 5, which has some really good episodes. The car, underwater car myth, where they sink the car and try and figure out the best ways of getting out of that situation in case you have an accident and go into a lake or whatever.
Yeah.
That's, I think, one of the best ones they do in the entire series. Because it's just really interesting to see how that all works.
Yeah.
And then be able to test it in a more safe manner than what you would expect.
Yeah. I liked when they revisited that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. What was there? They had their first like viewer special of doing things the viewers suggested, which ended up with them just blowing up somebody's car.
Yeah, just as.
Yeah. They did like a movie explosion, which just involved mostly gas. So just burned up. Then they just absolutely obliterated it.
Yep.
Which was really nice. And yeah, that continues to be great going through that stuff. As for games, I've been just finishing up Game of the Year stuff. Got my list in, and it's probably mostly stuff I've talked a lot about on this and Day Zero over the year.
Mm-hmm.
So probably not too many surprises. Maybe some terms of order, but that's been that was kind of nerve wracking a little bit because like there's like a list of 20 games I could have put on there easily and cutting it down and then trying to figure out an order. It's like this is all bullshit.
I think we're going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Yeah. There's like 4 games I could easily swap around and it would not make any difference in terms of me feeling like, oh, they don't deserve to be that high or not that high or whatever. But, yeah, I was even playing, I played some, Marvel Puzzle Quest. It's on sale on PSN for $1.50 for PS Plus people. It's the first sale it's had on PSN. It's 90% off, so it's weird.
That sale is nuts.
Yeah.
They got me good.
Yeah. Lots of good indie stuff that's like $5 or less. Like Stories, another one we all liked.
Yeah.
That's 79 cents.
Pat hasn't played that yet, so.
Yeah, get on that.
Yeah, get on that, Pat. 79 cents, dude.
why are they... I don't know. Like, I why am I singled out on this?
Oh, because you're the only one who hasn't gotten the copy yet.
Yeah, so Marvel Puzzle Quest is the first game I got out of that sale. And they don't do a great job of tutorializing like all the things that are different from normal Puzzle Quest in that. Things like 4 in a row is not an extra move. It clears out the line.
Yeah.
You have to get 3x3 L's or the T's or 5 in a rows at least to get extra moves. So like me playing all this Gems of War is completely screwing me over on this game.
Yeah.
And then there's like the covers that you unlock that either unlocks moves or upgrades moves. Some of the special moves you have. And that's not really explained at all. So I'm like, okay, I got this. What the hell happened? What does this do? So I had to like ask some people that played a lot of the mobile version. It's like, what the hell's going on here? And that's not always great. Like, you go to the options, it just has music and sound effects. So all you can do is turn them down and on. It's like, that's a mobile game right there. Has no options, really. Like, no manuals, no tutorial type stuff. Like, easy way to glance at that stuff. Like, Gems of War does that really well. But yeah, I just need to play more of it and get used to it, cause it's just kind of a little bit weird for me. I'm not sure there's a ton else. I jumped a bit into Uncharted and I'm enjoying that, though I'm in like the open world segment of it, just enjoying that. Especially just doing some of the, when you get into combat and, it has the similar kind of co-op stuff that The Last of Us did, where your partner, your AI partner, is not able to be seen by the enemies. So when they're kind of running around, they're not setting off the enemies as easily as it does in probably other games that do that stuff. So you're playing as Chloe. Nadine is with you from Uncharted 4. And so she is able to snap people's necks if enemies come near her. So I've been just hiding in the bushes and they come walking by and she's like, oh, snap.
Just pulls her back. On.
It's like, yeah. I've been trying to mainly be stealthy, which is nice because they have this whole like lock picking mechanic. Enemies will have some of their trucks around and they'll have like a special like loot chest that you can open up, and it gives you, like, golden weapons, which I have, like, a golden silenced pistol, which is all real good for stealth. Because you can pop dudes in the head and not have them upset anybody else, which it's not, like, a thing that Hitman does. If you use your silenced pistol near to kill somebody and there's others around them, they'll definitely hear it. So it's like, okay, this is real nice. Though then I've been running into guys with helmets. So like, okay, now I got to find a way to get this guy from behind, so I can snap his neck that way. But Yeah, like the big area, it's kind of like what's in Uncharted 4, like the chance you get to drive around and explore a little bit in Madagascar. But this is more of just a big area that you can go explore. And they have mainly collectibles. Like they're just small little temples around that you go to, maybe have to solve a puzzle or just take out some enemies and then get your token, and then you can take it to this other little temple that will unlock a special door once you have them all. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Mm.
Doing bullshit side quest stuff I don't have to do, but it's actually really fun, and I'm pretty sure this is not going to turn into a 40-hour game because it's supposed to be like 8 hours at most. I'm going to make it last as long as possible. Yeah, I don't know. There's a ton more. I traded in some stuff at GameStop because they have a nice trade-in thing going on where you trade in at least 4 games, you can get, I think, 50% bonus with their pro membership. So now they added a pro elite membership that's like $30 a year, which gives you an extra 10% on that sort of stuff. So it'd be 60%. It's like, I'm not that much of a GameStop customer. I just basically wait for them to have good trade-in deals, and I'll take some stuff in. But I basically took in Farpoint. That was one, and I ended up buying the digital version that's on sale during the PSN sale for $30. So I don't have to sit there and put a disc in to play that, which is nice. I also found out that they're taking pretty good... They're giving out pretty good credit for NCAA Football 14, the physical version, because it's the last one of those.
Mm.
So it's in pretty good demand, and they just delisted the digital versions off of PSN and Xbox Live.
Oh, okay.
So now it's in that Xenoblade Chronicles kind of area, though they're not giving out that much money for it. But they pester you like, hey, we'll give you $60 for this game, because we're going to sell it for $90. It's not that sort of thing, but it's like $15 for a 3 or 4 year old sports game, which is not a normal thing.
No.
But yeah, I already have a digital version on Xbox 360. That's never coming to Xbox One BC because there's a whole bunch of shit there. but yeah, so I didn't need the physical version. It's like, okay, I'll get $20-some for this, and for a version I was not going to play anytime soon. So hey, I also took advantage of one of their, because they take in their classic games. So I traded in one of my Dreamcast games. It was like $6. And I also was thinking about, I have a wrapped sealed version of, was it Gunbird on the Dreamcast?
Oh, that's a good game.
And I looked up the how much it was going for on eBay. It's like $100. It's like, oh.
Yeah, don't trade that in.
it was like $15. I was like, that's a lot for a shmup on a Dreamcast. I looked up, I was like, oh, that's why. They're selling it for like $35 or whatever.
Mm.
It's like, it's $100 for a sealed version. I'm going to see about doing that.
Oh, for a sealed version.
Yeah.
Mm. Pretty much sealed anything on Dreamcast is going to be good money these days.
Yeah. Yeah, though even like the opened ones are still like $70, $80.
Wow. So
it's probably not a shmup that has traveled around a lot. I think maybe they just now started porting it to new consoles. Because I think it just came to the Switch, a version of that.
Mm.
I don't know.
That's a good one to put on there.
Yeah. Or no, it's Gigawing. Gigawing is one I'm thinking of. Gigawing. Yeah.
Mars Matrix. There was some good stuff on there.
Yeah. Especially stuff they didn't print very many copies of, so now they're selling big now.
Mm.
Which, hey.
Which is weird, because I saw Gunbird freaking everywhere when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool, so I'm going to have to see about unearthing my eBay account and figuring out a way to not get scammed. That's been pretty much the reason why I haven't bothered with eBay for much. Just hearing lots of stories of people selling stuff and then the buyer finding a way to try and scam their way to get it for free, get their money back and all that. People having to literally just create shitstorms on Twitter to get things resolved. But yeah, that's been kind of it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, basically, first thing you know is I am playing Neo.
How are you liking it?
I am very much liking it. It is a genuinely fun game. I know people... I sometimes kind of feel like I'm selling it short when people, when I or other people call it, you know, feudal Japanese Dark Souls, but...
What do you want?
Kind of that.
Yeah. It's basically feudal Japanese Dark Souls with a few random historical figures thrown into it. I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is genuinely good and fun. It is very challenging. But part of the reason I'm playing it is because, and this ties into my other thing, which is Game of the Year stuff. We are all getting our Game of the Year stuff together over on Smashpad, and one of the things that I have to do is, on my top 10 list, I actually have two... Well, there's actually three games on there that hadn't been given an official review yet on the website. Sorry. Yeah. Neo was one of them, so...
And we've talked about it plenty on the podcast, though.
Yeah. And so I need to get, like, a review done for both Neo and Night in the Woods, so... No pressure, right?
Right.
But fortunately, my stuff, I don't think... I think my deadline is like the 21st, so...
Yeah, you still got a week.
Yeah. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, it's mostly just been trying to stay warm and not freeze to death down here.
Oh, God, that's... We got a huge snowstorm on Wednesday, like 4 to 6 inches.
Yeah.
Which, a huge shitstorm if the... The cities around here aren't keeping up on their roads, which happened for some of them. Like, my neighborhood does not get treated or plowed anywhere close to the main roads that are around it.
Don't they have augers, at least?
Or
don't they even need augers, ever?
I don't think they really need it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's just, like, I get into my car and look at the roads and, like, fuck, this is going to be a fucking shitty drive. And I get out to the main road, and it's like completely fine, just wet pavement.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, we're good.
Well, I'm pretty sure I can out-cold you guys, so.
I don't know.
You live in Canada, dude.
I don't know about out-colding.
No.
We're probably similar with Ohio and Canada, because it was wind chills were in the single digits on Monday.
Yeah. No, that's two right now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we've had some of those days.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. But, yeah, just getting all that, and of course, freaking holidays coming up, so...
Yeah, more opportunities to drink.
Oh, yeah. And,
We shall.
Yes, we shall, very much so. And, yeah, other than that, that's basically it for this week. So, anything, got anybody want to add anything else before we move on?
No, not good.
All right, well then, it is once again time for everybody's favorite part of the show, and that is Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight, I'm going to just make it so that you may not ever sleep again for a year or two.
Okay.
Because I want to tell you about a person who really existed... who was not only extremely scary, but for some reason, despite how utterly terrifying he is, there's only ever been one relatively obscure movie made about him, and it was only fairly loosely. This man was a major figure in the Mexican drug cartels. This guy not only was a heavy drug dealer, he was also a cult leader and a practitioner of black magic. Involving human sacrifice. This is not a joke, not an urban legend. He was a real person. His name was Adolfo de Jesus Constanzo. He died in 1989 from assisted suicide, and by the time he died, he had managed to hold several people in his overall cartel in his thrall and was apparently so charismatic that he had these people literally believing that he could cast spells that would make them repel bullets.
What could possibly go wrong?
So, first thing you need to know about Constanzo is he was the son of a 15-year-old Cuban woman in 1962. He was one of three children, all of them by different fathers. She eventually moved him and the rest of the kids to Puerto Rico, where he was baptized and was an altar boy. But his mother, was being Cuban immigrant, was really into voodoo. And he would occasionally go down to Haiti to learn about it. And his mother absolutely believed in this stuff. Much like Haiti, Cuba is kind of a voodoo hotspot. You know, even though officially, you know, the government kind of tries to keep that shit down. And when his stepdad died in 1972, him and his mother and the family got some money. So during this time, his mother apprenticed him to a local sorcerer who was active in a religion called Palo Mayombe, which is a sort of Afro-Cuban offshoot of voodoo. His mother remarried, and they were, during this time, they not only got really more heavily into the religion, specifically Palo Mayombe, they also got heavily involved in drug dealing.
And, as you do.
Yeah. And his parents, both his mother and his stepdad, were often arrested for things like theft, vandalism, shoplifting, petty crimes, you see. Now, Adolfo managed to graduate from high school, but he was expelled from prep school. Apparently, his mother also really believed he had amazing psychic powers, because apparently he supposedly foretold the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan in 1981. So, yeah, there's just no way this guy was going to grow up normal.
No.
So when Costanzo became an adult, and, you know, because of his stepdad, he had already been introduced into the drug trade, he decided he was going to go to one of the countries where the drug trade was very profitable, and of course that is Mexico. So as an adult, he moved to Mexico City, and while he was there, he met up with a couple of local drug traffickers who basically became his thralls and his own personal cult. So the way that Adolfo made his money, more or less, other than drug dealing, was he became a sorcerer for hire. So, you know, basically drug dealers, kingpins, common criminals would come to him, and they would ask him to cast a spell for good luck. And usually these involved ritual animal sacrifices that usually cost a lot of money. They would usually involve things like chickens, goats, snakes, zebras, and once or twice even lion cubs, apparently. And apparently he was really popular, not just because apparently whether somehow by pure coincidence some of his stuff seemed to work. It really didn't. It was mostly just one of those 1 in 10 type things.
Yeah.
But also because he tended to make a big show out of these. And so he usually ended up smearing his little ritual room with blood. And he would usually do this, and you know, his clients would be there to watch him do it, and well, they kind of got off on it. He even managed to have several high-ranking policemen who became some of his own clients, and those also ended up introducing him to some of the city's most powerful drug cartels. Now, here's something you need to. I'm not going to try and explain all of Palo Mayombe because it's a fairly complex belief system. But one of the parts of Palo Mayombe, and this which is specific and kind of necessary for the story, is when a person who practices a particular religion. I've been drinking.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, a person who practices this particular religion will have on. In their living space, a thing called an nganga, which is basically a cauldron. And in order to essentially practice or enhance any particular spells you may have, you have to put things into this Nganga and cook them. So if you want more strength or power, you would put pieces of wood like sticks or, you know, limbs from trees you would put in there. If you want more intelligence or smarts, you would put brains, you know, animal brains, skull fragments, stuff like that. Now, that's important to know that part to understand what comes next. The one thing you really need to understand about Adolfo de Jesus Constanzo is this dude wasn't a con man. He actually believed this shit wholeheartedly. And as he tried to sort of make his spells more powerful, he would start raiding the local graveyards for human bones so that he could put them in his Nganga. But eventually he didn't think that was working anymore. So he began ordering his thralls and his cult to start bringing to kidnap him victims so that he could create human sacrifices. He ended up doing this to 20 people. His downfall, though, came in 1989, because his henchmen, his thralls, abducted an American pre-med student in Cancun named Mark Kilroy. He had been there, of course, on spring break, he was brought to the ranch. Constanzo killed him, had his big ritual. Eventually, because of this, there was like a big thing that went down in Texas and, of course, the U.S. in general, because an American college student disappears in Mexico. Why wouldn't the media be all this?
Yeah.
Well, a bunch of Texas politicians managed to get a bunch of the people at the Texas-Mexican border to cooperate and to go down and track down what happened to him. And eventually, yes, they went down to and found Costanzo's compound where they captured the four thralls of his. And you can actually go on YouTube. They've got a documentary about all this on there. And one of the things they do is they actually videotaped the proceedings of when they had the people track down where the bodies were buried. And, you know, they went into Costanzo's ritual shed, and they brought out the Nganga. It turned out that the reason why specifically Mark Kilroy had been killed was because Costanzo was looking for a quote-unquote superior brain for one of his spells, and he figured, what better than a college student? And after they raided the compound, the cops found things like a dead black cat and a human brain also in the Nganga. They dug up about 15 mutilated corpses on the compound, one of whom was, of course, Mark Kilroy's. Apparently, after investigation, they discovered that he was killed by Constanzo with a machete chop to the back of the head when he tried to escape after about 12 hours of being held captive. So all this goes down. So Constanzo and four of his followers flee to Mexico City. Costanzo was determined not to go to prison, so he handed a gun to one of his followers and ordered him to shoot him. And of course, by the time the cop showed up, him and his henchmen were both dead.
Yeah, real upstanding citizen, this guy.
Yeah. So, for those who are curious, there was a movie in 2007, loosely based on this, called Borderland. And there was actually if you get this movie on DVD, they've got the little documentary that goes along with it. And let's just say it's pretty freaking... Oh, boy. Yes, it is. Mm. All the more disturbing because this 100% fucking happened.
Yeah. Off-brand woo is still woo.
Yeah. So, that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. True. And that's why I'm never setting foot in Cancun, ever. Why would I do that when I can go to PC Beach and get drunk there?
It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Anyway, so, It's now time for the show proper, and we're going to start off with our asshole of the week, and come on, you know who it is.
Yeah.
FCC
Some
commissioner.
Some weeks just set themselves up.
Yep. FCC commissioner Ajit Pai, who this week basically took net neutrality out to the back of the woodshed and shot it.
Yeah, and also shot his own career.
Yeah.
I should point out.
Because there is no way he's going to be able to keep this job now.
Nope.
He basically served his purpose. Yep. And so, yeah, if you're worried about things like, you know, tears and throttling, shit like that, well, to be honest, you don't quite have to be panicking just yet.
No.
We
have several more steps that need to be gone through before we have a conclusion here.
Yeah, first of all, it's often forgotten, this still needs to be approved by Congress.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, there are Republicans who actually do support net neutrality.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
There are also Republicans who would like to be reelected.
Yeah.
Yep.
But on top
of
that,
I believe net neutrality has something like 83% support among the American people.
Yeah. Yep. And on top of this, that's just the first step. There's also the fact that New York, amongst other states, is actually going to sue the FCC and the Trump administration over this action. They basically had been preparing this shit for a while.
Well, they were already lawyered up.
Yeah, they were getting ready to do this shit before this happened, and so basically this just meant, all right, full speed ahead.
Yeah, because there were a lot of problems with when they were, you know, taking comments on the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
because some of the ISPs were essentially forging comments using their customer information.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is illegal. I'm not yep. sure about that.
It's disseminating people's personal information. That's supposed to be securely kept in your databases.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not putting people in their addresses and phone numbers and all that on the public internet for people to
see. Mm-hmm. Now, also, going along with this is the fact that there is almost assuredly going to be a stay.
Yes.
Because the courts are probably going to come in and is like, look, dude, wait. You know,
yeah,
hold
sure.
on just a sec. We got some shit we got to work out first.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a number of legal companies that are basically had their stuff ready to go.
Yeah.
To try and keep this going for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the trade agreement with Canada, which one of the provisions of that was bringing up the U.S.'s net neutrality policies up here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canadian government was like, no. So, yeah, if they want that trade agreement to go through, that's not going to be part of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
and,
it's an uphill battle.
And so in the meantime, everybody out there, you need to be vigilant.
Yes.
So if you see or come across any kind of evidence that shows any of the major ISPs that seems to be like they're trying to throttle any of your bandwidth or anything, let the folks at the Electronic Freedom Foundation and other organizations know. Mm-hmm. Let it be public, because in the meantime, if any of these fuckers try to pull anything, we need to publicly shame them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these ISPs have already been caught trying to pull some of this shit even when we had net neutrality. So, even though we're essentially telling you not to worry as much right now, because there's still a bunch of stuff legally that needs to go through, and there's just a million steps where all of this could immediately be reversed, you still need to pay attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Complacency is how we lose.
Yeah. Do not allow your, you know, don't, it's easy to grow numb to shit like this, but don't. Because that's kind of what they're counting on.
Yep.
Don't hit the panic button, but don't be so reassured that you stop watching for shit.
Yeah.
Hands will be in the cookie jar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you need to be ready with the butcher knife to cut them off when they show up.
Yeah, yeah. You can look at how mobile data plans do not have any sort of net neutrality to it, so Some of them will make deals with, you know, Netflix, like, oh, you know, use Netflix on our service, you get no data charge for it.
Yeah. It's like, you start seeing that on the regular wire lines, start worrying.
Yeah. Hmm. And before anyone asks, because I know someone's going to bring it up, you know how up to this point a lot of people have probably been talking about Portugal?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Portugal actually does have net neutrality. They're in the EU. They have to.
Yeah.
That if you've been looking around, you've probably seen that that data plan that you've seen.
Yeah.
That's a specific one for a specific kind of high-speed internet group of customers. That is actually a specialty thing, and even then it's add-ons, not actual requirements.
Yeah.
Again, they still have to go by EU net neutrality regulations.
Yeah.
So, you know, pay attention. And in the meantime, oh my God, Mr. Pi, I would recommend that you lock your doors and have armed guards there 24/7, because you realize your ass is toast, right?
So many people that, you know, ordinarily are the absolute problem on the internet are probably going to unwittingly use their rage and venom and toxicity for good.
Yeah. And it also doesn't help that Ajit Pai really does not seem to understand how much people fucking hate him.
Yeah, you saw that video that he posted?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Where he's basically just saying, don't worry, kiddos. You're going to be able to take your selfies and your memes.
That's not the point.
Yeah, I'm sure there are going to be threats. There are going to be doxings. There are going to be all kinds of things that...
They've already put out his address.
Yeah. Okay, so...
He lives in Arlington, by the way. I'm not going to tell you the actual address, but he lives in Arlington. Mm. So...
Not for much longer.
Yeah, just I am absolutely convinced this guy has some kind of serious narcissistic personality disorder, because apparently even he, you know, all this negative attention, he's just glad he's getting attention, period. He doesn't care what kind it is.
Yeah, well, I think actually the problem is that he has a Verizon cell phone tower shoved up his ass.
Yeah.
That would probably
he put it there.
Do that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. So it should be our job to push it further, you know, until it pops out of his mouth.
Yeah. Mr. Idjit Pie.
Yeah.
Yep. We can call you Idjit now.
Yeah. Hmm. So anyway. Before. Yeah. So Idjit Pie, he's our asshole of the week. Go fuck yourself.
Yep.
You have forever been branded an enemy of the internet.
Yeah.
In the long run, it's going to be looked at. He messed with Call of Duty.
Yeah.
What kinds of people is that going to call out?
The wrong kind. So
now,
think about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, like the weird thing with net neutrality is it's one of the few issues that the vast majority of the company the country agrees on.
Yeah,
it's like at least like 80% of people think we should have this. We should not be getting rid of it.
And, of course, every so often you'll get assholes like Ted Cruz basically coming out and calling net neutrality supporters snowflakes, or, you know, John Walsh and Ben Shapiro, all the other douchebags.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the people that are like, oh, we were fine before 2015. It's like, it was getting worse and worse with each year.
This fight didn't start in 2015, folks. It started in 2005.
Yep. But anyway, so to wash the taste of that out of our mouths, we now go on to our hero of the week. The one that kind of surprised and made all our days just a little bit brighter. Because Alabama elected the first Democratic senator in 25 years.
Yay, Alabama. We didn't think you had it in you, honestly.
Okay, so what needs to be known? Alabama, of course, had a special election for their Senate seat after Jeff Sessions, of course, became Attorney General under President Donald Trump. So they needed an election to replace it.
And how's that working out for them?
Yeah. And so, you know, the Republicans had a primary, and a lot of folks were hoping someone like Mo Brooks or what's that other guy? I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Well, Mo Brooks was Trump's guy, right?
No, that was the other guy. But, well, both Mo Brooks and the other guy were Trump's people. But neither one of them ended up winning the primary. Nope, the guy that ended up winning the primary was former Judge Roy Moore, a hardcore Christian theocrat who believed that homosexuality should be illegal, that that the Constitution only applies to Christians, that all of the amendments after the 10th Amendment could probably be done away with and we'd be better off.
Hence, which ones might that include?
Well, let's see. That includes the 13th Amendment, which outlaws it included the 13th Amendment that outlawed slavery, the amendment that has for equal protection of law, the women the right to vote.
Black people the right to vote.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff dealing with minorities.
Yeah.
And women.
And this was even before we started to find out that apparently he was a he was kind of a chronic kitty diddler. Yeah.
And this is where the evangelical crowd really has a hard time trying to parse this all, because they've tied up their religion so hard with their politics that they're not sure if they're able to morally vote for this guy. And it seems like still 48% of people said, let's still do this.
To explain it, Roy Moore, first it started off that apparently he had apparently molested a girl back when she was 16. Apparently, you know, it was something about her mom was, doing like a custody battle, and he took her out of the courthouse and, well, all that shit. Basically, he took off her clothes and made him touch his penis, or tried to get her to touch his penis. There was also the 14-year-old. There was that one girl that he tried to force to have oral sex on him in his car. And of course, one of those individuals also so happened to have his name signed into her yearbook.
Well.
And,
which almost went bad when, the news came that there was some more stuff added to it. That was just like date.
Yeah.
Just to note when this thing
happened.
The date
and location.
Yeah.
That was what had been added.
But the rest of it was verified to be actually his.
Yeah.
But not that obviously Fox News and all them spun it as like it's all forged, it's all fake, this has never happened and all that stuff. And the right-wing part of Twitter and Facebook all just goes nuts.
And then, you know, Breitbart got involved too.
As they do.
As usual. And then, of course, there's the fun part that guess who was going around with the Roy Moore show? None other than former presidential advisor Steve Bannon. Who, you know, remember, Steve Bannon is a wealthy Harvard-educated individual who tried to make himself out to be a working-class stiff. He failed.
He looks like a stiff.
Yeah.
I think it was Steve King who said that he looked like a drunkard who just suddenly walked onto the stage.
It looks like what happens when you sell your soul to the devil.
Yeah.
He's become a soulless husk.
Yeah. And, and of course, Roy Moore is also...
That does explain the cyst, though.
Yeah. And of course, Roy Moore was also infamous for the fact that, you know, he got kicked out of being the Supreme Court Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama twice.
And still calls himself a judge, even though that's not how it works.
His opponent was a Democrat, Doug Jones. Now, Doug Jones was famous for being the prosecutor who convicted the orchestrators of the Birmingham church bombing in the 1960s. The members of the Klan who set a bomb off at a African American church in the city of Birmingham, and the bomb goes off in the basement and it killed four little girls. That's his big achievement.
and not being everything that Roy Moore is.
Yeah, he was basically the anti-Roy Moore.
Like a decent person.
Yeah. And
somebody that gets banned from malls because he keeps hitting on girls.
Yeah, or the YMCA because they kept trolling for underage pussy, apparently. And
see, I didn't hear that story.
Oh, yeah.
I knew about the malls, but...
No, he was banned from the YMCA as well, apparently.
I mean, when you're banned from the malls, you got to find the next best thing.
It's true.
Yeah. And so, I guess it was Tuesday night. They had the election, and it went on into the night, and holy shit, was it a nail-biter, too. Because, again, it basically proved that the evangelical Christian wing of the Republican Party really does not have any morals.
Nope.
They really do.
And the demographics for this stuff is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Because all this shit happens, and then we have the election, and they did not start counting it. I mean, not counting. They didn't declare it until I think around 10:30, or 10:45. Once most of the votes came in, and basically Doug Jones won by over a percentage point. He won by like 1.9%.
It's like 49.8%, something like that, to 48.4%, something like that.
He basically won by about, I think it was 22,000 votes.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, there were about 20-something thousand write-in votes from people who were apparently registered Republicans but couldn't stand to vote for Roy Moore. And, of course, they also couldn't vote for a Democrat either, apparently.
Oh, did you see the thing where they were shutting down the place where you get the IDs for voting?
Yeah, they tried.
In counties that were 75% black or more.
Mm-hmm. They also had people sending out misleading text telling them people that their polling place's address had been changed at the last minute, all this other obvious voter suppression fuckery.
Yeah, it's like don't try to be secret about your racism.
Yeah, and they still lost.
Yeah, mainly because of the black vote.
Yeah,
they got the race demographics 30% whites for Doug Jones, 68% mm-hmm. for Roy. Blacks 96% for Doug Jones.
Yeah,
4%.
By the way, did you see the one women? Did you see the women one?
Yeah, women 57% for Doug Jones, 41% for Roy. Black and young voters 6% for Doug Jones, 38% for Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Though if you break it down to black and white women, very much black women were like 98% Doug mm-hmm. Jones, and white women was, I think it was like in the 60s
mm-hmm.
for Roy Moore.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, Alabama, you got saved by your black people.
Yeah. And, but the fun didn't stop there because once it was called, Roy Moore's campaign came forward and said, no, there has to be a recount because if it comes within half a percentage point, except...
That didn't happen.
No, because it was over a percentage point and therefore outside the margin of error.
Yeah, it's like half a percent. He's like 1.5%.
Yeah. And now if Roy Moore can actually cough up the cash, of course they can have a recount. But I'm also convinced that the Republican Party basically is just ready to drop him like a bad habit.
Well, they were kind of stuck with him.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, even Steve Bannon, after he found out that Moore lost, he didn't even give a comment. He just stepped into a car and drove out of the state of Alabama.
So, bye.
Yeah. And CNN actually went to the offices of the I think it was the district attorney of the state, and he was like, look, I'm not comfortable talking to Roy Moore or any of his campaign right now. The people of Alabama have spoken. It was just, And then it all happens, and then it's just the entire... It was like... GOP was in meltdown mode, basically. Because they lost the reddest state in the union to a Democrat.
Yep. Yeah, though, you see Trump's congratulation tweet?
Yeah.
Basically says, a win is a win. People of Alabama are great, and the Republicans will have another shot at this seat in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. It never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump.
Like I am convinced he didn't. Yeah, I also am convinced he didn't write that.
Hmm. No, there's been a lot of coherent tweets on his account. Everybody's like, the attorney is doing all this.
Yeah.
He's not yelling at people with the frequency that everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
Like his latest tweet is, Dow, S&P 500, NASDAQ close at record highs. MAGA. Yeah, that's why we need the tax reform, right?
Right, yeah.
Get this economy going again.
Yeah. But, so Doug Jones won. He is now senator-elect. And, man, there was just watching... Just like every so often when one of these big races happens and the Republican loses, I love to go on Fox News and Breitbart just to see the reactions. Comment section. And it's just 100%. It's like denial, depression, anger.
Did you see YouTube?
Yeah.
YouTube was amazing that night.
Yeah.
It was. Sustain me.
Yeah. And so now it's just so fun to go as like, hey, how's it feel to be a loser?
Tired of winning yet?
Yeah. Oh boy, and I have a feeling that this is going to be only the tip of the iceberg. Because if the Democrats can win in Alabama,
that's fucked up, boy.
Yeah, and it also means by now, and I'm going to just say it straight. It's time for the Republicans to cut themselves loose from the that part of the demographic, the hardcore evangelical wing.
Mm-hmm. They have to. It's killing them.
It's basically a millstone around their neck, and it's been killing them for 20 years now. Mm. And they just need to drop it.
Yeah, especially when Trump winning the presidency basically gives legitimacy to people like Roy Moore.
Candidates. Yeah. But anyway, so, all right, so it's now time for the show proper, and first off, our first story actually has to do with Roy Moore, specifically one of his spokesmen, who was having an interview with Jake Tapper on CNN. And you know what, Chris, I'm going to let you explain this one.
Okay, so he was talking to him... And brought up that one of Roy Moore's big claims over the last couple days was about how there can't be any Muslims in the government because they can't swear on the Bible. And so this guy is spewing all that as much as he can. Jake Tapper says, but you don't need to swear on the Bible. It's like, but I've been in office for 3 times and I've sworn on the Bible every time. Like, yeah, but you don't have to. You know, people swear on, you know, the Jewish Bible or the Quran or whatever. Somebody's even sworn on the Constitution.
Technically, if you wanted to, you could just swear on a science textbook. The whole thing is just a formality.
Yeah, there's a good joke here. Somebody says, if I ever got elected president, I would likely swear in on the copy of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone that J.K. Rowling signed for me when I was 11.
Yeah.
And you know, they say, mischief managed.
Yeah. See, the thing is, this is the thing that actually kind of goes back to, you know, the founding of the country. The whole point was that we don't have a religious test for office. Apparently, this dipshit didn't know that, though.
Yeah, because this is like the height of anecdotal evidence of, well, I've done it, and the people I know who've done it have also done that, so that's the only way it's going to be done. Like, it's how it has to be done.
Yeah, he's like, you know, and he's like, Jake Tapper says, you do know that you legally don't have to swear on the Bible itself, right? And he's like, well, President Trump, when he's like, you know, when he was given became president, he had to. He's like, yes, because he identifies as a Christian, so he swears on the Bible. But you don't have to swear on the Bible. And
then his reaction is just like
slack jawed silence, literally.
He does like, not know what to say.
Yeah,
in response to that.
I mean, like, he's just
he just kind of shuts down.
Yeah, it's like his whole world is crumbling before his eyes.
It was beautiful.
Oh,
it's like that meme with the brains.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, here's like the smaller brain, larger brain, exploding brain.
Yeah,
like his brain was just exploding at that point. It's like, oh God.
Yeah,
they don't have to be Christian nut jobs.
Yep. He should have already known that, since, you know, there's already a Muslim in Congress. His name is Keith Ellison. And
they don't think that far ahead.
Yeah, and he, you know, swore in on Thomas Jefferson's copy of the Quran. You know, in fact, for a long time, it was actually pretty common for people going into office to actually swear on Jefferson's Bible, which, for those of you who don't know, Jefferson's Bible is the version he made where he cut out all the miracles and the prophecies and all the supernatural stuff, so it's about the deeds and morals of Jesus. So,
and I guess there's a fun fact mentioned here. John Quincy Adams used a law book, not a Bible. It is an inauguration.
Yep.
So presidents don't even have to do it, obviously.
Yep. That's right. John Quincy Adams also believed the earth was hollow, but I'm not going to hold that against him.
Yeah, that was long ago.
Yeah, but anyway, it's just, I think at this point you realize that, they really are that stupid.
Yeah.
They totally are.
Yeah. And as a friend of mine, and as a wise man once said, don't weep for the stupid or you'll be crying all night. So, moving on. Merriam-Webster, the dictionary people, have announced what their word of the year is. And guess what it is? It's feminism.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of a lot of douchebags.
Yeah, I'm sure the internet is going nuts about this, especially on their Twitter feed.
Yeah.
But essentially, they have a top 10 list here of like their top lookups. Feminism was the top one. Obviously, spiked with the Women's March in January.
Mm-hmm.
And probably consistently with things like The Handmaid's Tale and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Being big shows and movies for the year.
Yep.
Number two, Complicit. for obvious reasons, with the big SNL skit and all of the shit going on with Trump's campaign over the last year. Number three, recuse, pertaining to Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Very much spiked in January when he had to recuse himself from investigations the Department of Justice was doing regarding Hillary Clinton and the Russian stuff. Number four, empathy. Hey.
That's worrying.
Yep. Which obviously says here, empathy means the ability to share another person's feelings and ultimately derives from the Greek word meaning emotional. Because Trump and the Republicans have none of that.
Nope.
Number five, doddered. Thanks to Mr. Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
For introducing America to a word that already existed.
Yeah.
Really now. When he called Donald Trump a mentally deranged U.S. dotard.
Yeah.
Which saw a 35,000% increase in lookups from last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wrong, though.
Yeah. Number six, Syzygy, the day of the solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously the solar eclipse, the big total eclipse was a huge thing.
Yeah.
For the pop culture for when that happened in August. So, hey. Number seven, Giro. So obviously not everything is political.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And so people looked up Giro, I guess.
Hmm.
Spiked in March when a widely shared sketch from The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and a country singer, Luke Bryan, began with them ordering from a New York City food truck. And it was
Giro.
For a song called I don't know how to pronounce gyro. Which there's a restaurant around here that makes them, and their like radio or TV ads just pronounces it every single different way.
Yeah.
It's just people arguing about this.
Yeah.
That's their whole marketing thing. So
that's brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Like gyro, gyro. It's like, oh God. This is just an argument in radio form.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, federalism.
We could definitely use it.
Yeah, spiked in September as congressional squabbling over the fate of the Affordable Care Act took center stage. And I guess Lindsey Graham basically said about the inevitable adoption of a single-payer healthcare system in America, here's the choice for America, socialism or federalism when it comes to your healthcare.
Yeah, you know, you do realize that those aren't incompatible, right?
Yeah.
Well, we do, but apparently they don't.
Yeah. Number 9, hurricane. Because obviously we had a bunch of big hurricanes. And I guess people did not know what a hurricane specifically was.
Wow. That's...
Well, I mean, people in Florida were trying to shoot at it to make it go away, so...
Yeah. They say here, lookups of hurricane often spike during and after hurricanes, so we don't think this is due to ignorance of what a hurricane is. Rather, people are looking up hurricane to get more detailed information.
Mm.
Which, probably shouldn't look at a dictionary for detailed information on a hurricane. That would be,
Wikipedia. That'd be my guess, yeah.
Wikipedia, just type it into Google and they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Ask it, what is a hurricane? And Google probably has one of those auto... answer things. But yeah. Number 10, GAF. referencing the 2017 Academy Awards when they announced the best picture for La La Land, then realized, oh crap, we got the wrong card. It's supposed to go to Midnight or Moonlight.
Whoops.
Yep. And so those are the top 10 words of the year.
Yeah. By the way, I got a little bit of breaking news here. Apparently, Roy Moore's campaign is now announcing that it is seeking donations for an quote-unquote election integrity fund. Because for those who don't know, he still has not conceded the race.
No, he says God is going to figure this out.
Yeah.
Where is your God now?
the dozens of people that will donate to him.
Yeah.
Literally dozens.
The problem is one or two of those dozens is actually pretty wealthy. Mm. So, all right. So, next up in international news, Prime Minister Theresa May has basically let go of the wheel on the Brexit deal because the Parliament barely passed the final vote, and it's just all in chaos now, basically.
Yeah, basically the final vote bill essentially gives them the ability to have a say in all of this so that no matter what deal that Theresa May strikes with the EU when they have their summit, the Parliament gets a chance to approve or deny it, which seems to be basically due to all the new Tories that are in the Parliament after the most recent election.
Mm.
And so they basically passed this 309 to 305.
Mm.
And now basically Theresa May has lost full control of the Brexit deal.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically softened. This is the latest of her humiliating losses.
Mm-hmm.
She's tried to consolidate her power a while back with the vote she called. And yeah, it was a big win for the other side as they gained more chairs and basically took away their advantages.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if you're going to try to secede from a union like that, you might want to actually do some research and see if there are really long-term economic impact that will happen. Because they didn't bother to do any of that.
So. No, it's almost like they're all incompetent idiots that whose only success was coming from stoking people's fears and racist tendencies.
Yeah.
By lying to them, by saying, hey, you vote for Brexit and we'll get all this money that we don't have to pay to the EU every month. It's like, No, we don't get that, because that's all been fairly paid stuff for what we get in return.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Brexit is basically, it's in trouble, pretty much.
Yep.
But, all right, so moving on in some unfortunate news. The nation of Bermuda has decided to ban gay marriage after their Supreme Court legalized it in May. Fuck you, Bermuda.
Yeah, the only country in the world that has ever gone back on that when they've legalized gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They've essentially created this domestic partnership sort of label that these couples can get with some of the benefits of being married, but without having to use the title marriage, because it upsets the traditionalists.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Traditionalists are pretty much going to die out sooner or later, so
yeah.
And this is one that's going to get revisited.
And this isn't a great look, because the vast majority of the money they bring into the country is from tourism.
Yeah.
Like, hey, create this this whole feeling of your country not being friendly to gay people. That's not great for business.
Nope, not really.
Yeah, nice work. Now, in more pleasant news, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is going to be lifting their 35-year ban on movie theaters. The first one's going to be opening up in March.
Yep.
Remember we talked a few weeks back about changes that were going to start happening?
Yep, this is just one. This is him on his little step to modernizing and secularizing Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, the program is called Vision 2030.
Yeah.
Essentially completely remaking their society and culture and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Opening up so much of it to more Western ideals.
Yeah. And I will hand it out that all this does sound like it's going painfully slow, but to be perfectly honest, this is probably the best way to go about it. Sort of ease the country into it.
Yeah.
Because when you're introducing big like revolutionary changes to your country like this, you kind of have to do it slowly and
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're going to be adding, you know, start bringing these unbelievably revolutionary changes to your country, you basically have to do it slowly and methodically.
It cannot be administered rectally.
Yeah. It's basically the reason why most of the communist bloc basically fell by the time the 20th century ended.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you definitely don't want to rush into that stuff and then do it the wrong way.
Yeah. Because you got to remember, Saudi Arabia has basically been the way it's been for a long, long time. And, you know, they've been in the grips of Wahhabist fundamentalists for decades now. And he has just, you know, the current crown prince has just now managed to pry their grip off of the country. Yeah. So he's doing this, going about this the best way you can, considering the circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah,
if you want an idea of how long it's been since they've had movies in their cinemas, E.T. was the top of the box office, probably the most successful movie of all time at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And now
you
it's
have
been
an entire generation that has never seen a movie there.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
They haven't seen it legally.
Yeah.
In a theater.
In a theater is what I mean.
I'm sure there's a heavy black market for
movies
and music and games and all that stuff.
Yeah,
of course.
But now they're going to be able to start doing that legally, and well, with that also comes the possibility of Saudi Arabian film industry to sprout up and develop. So
yeah, which will
be a big film industry.
Yeah,
yeah, and it'll help them go just a little bit further from, you know, getting off of oil.
Yeah.
That. Now, my big suggestion to Saudi Arabia would be that they sort of, you know, bite the bullet as far as sectarianism goes and start bringing up some and improving diplomatic relations with Iran. Because that Iran has been sort of the thorn in their back for a long time. And, you know, these are the two, you know, doing that would go a long way to helping to ease sectarian violence in the Muslim world, because Saudi Arabia, being Wahhabist, which is predominantly Sunni in nature, Iran is actually Shia. So that would actually go a long way to easing tensions there. So, yeah.
It seems like a trivial thing, but it really isn't.
No, it isn't. But I am very optimistic. I think, like I said back then, I'll say it again, if the Crown Prince manages to pull this off, he's pretty much going to single-handedly change the face of the Muslim world.
It's going to be one of the major news stories of the 2020s.
Yep. So, all right, so moving on. Now we just get to the weird shit. So there was a man in Ohio who was recently arrested. Why was he arrested? Well, he was attempting to solicit sex from a minor for a chicken Alfredo and a Sprite. Because fuck me.
Okay. I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah. It kind of just writes itself, doesn't it?
It's like... I can't even go there.
Yeah, so... Screw it. I'm going to go ahead and link on this. Hold on. Because this is just... I swear I'm going to see this on a radio dead air this weekend. All right, so it was Austin... Oh, God, just look at this fucker.
He's a walking stereotype, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. He looks like some sort of 4chan loser. He really does. He was a student at Youngstown State University, and he was arrested on charges of attempted unlawful sexual contact with a minor, disseminating matter harmful to juveniles, possessing criminal tools, and importuning. He was apparently thought he was chatting with an... he actually got... It was a sting, apparently. Yep. Undercover officer thought he was chatting with an underage boy on an online dating app. Police say that the suspect sent nude photos of himself using the app and said graphic sexual things in the chat. They arranged a meet in Austin Town on Tuesday, promising to bring Chicken Alfredo and Sprite to the meeting. And then officers arrested him after he showed up with an iPhone, a laptop, several zip drives, a bottle of lubricant, two bottles of Sprite, and a container of Chicken Alfredo. Moreno remains in custody at the Mahoning County Jail.
Okay.
So I'm just, first of all, he had to know it was a cop the moment he sent the nudes and they were still interested.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm just picturing like five or six police officers gathered around a table mercilessly roasting this guy while the deal is being played out.
And if you think it isn't happening, dude, cops are assholes. Okay.
Yeah.
I know it. Mm. God damn it.
But I couldn't hold this one against them either.
No, it just... God, some people are stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, like, there were, an intelligent sexual predator would have looked at this and realized five or six steps ago that something was up. But,
nope.
Whatever. So, this next story.
That was good.
Yeah. No.
Well, it said disseminating material harmful to a minor, so it must have spoiled.
So, this next story comes from your country, Phil.
I take no responsibility for this one.
So, over in British Columbia, the 13th severed foot in the past decade has washed up on the shore. And
what the actual crucified fuck?
Yeah. I'm thinking serial killer.
Maybe. I don't know.
Human trafficking. Something like that.
And these are coming in shoes as well.
Yeah.
I think they've only ever found one pair.
Mm-hmm.
But all the rest have been separate enough and no real evidence that they're linked.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if there's some weird shit going on with, like, maybe boat crashes or something like that, people dying, and then somehow their body gets ravaged by
the
wildlife, and then their foot somehow is the one thing that doesn't get eaten. It just washes up. But
that is a possibility.
Yeah, so...
Does British Columbia have, like, a lot of sharks, or...
Well, it is on the coast.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not unheard of.
All right. I got a map here where they've all been found.
Hmm.
Which...
Yeah, let's...
That's all over the place.
Yeah.
God, that is just weird.
Yeah. Well, if they're washing up, it means this all happened usually on the water, so... Yeah, it's probably some nautical accidents. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, well... Well, I mean, British Columbia is like a pretty big fishing place, right? So,
yeah,
it's possible these are like, I mean, anybody who knows anything about modern fisheries knows that that's a pretty dangerous job, especially if you're like crab fishing or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
So, anyway, next up, next story, we are now officially living in the middle of RoboCop. Because City of San Francisco is now using robots to deter homeless people from setting up camp.
Yeah, this is just so San Francisco.
Because
they can't be bothered to, you know, actually send a cop to do that. They just send robots instead.
Yeah.
Well, this is being done by the San Francisco SPCA, an Animal Advocacy and Pet Adoption Group. So they have a security robot that works outside its facilities to keep homeless people from setting up camps along their, like, right around their campus.
Mm-hmm. For what purpose?
Because they don't want homeless people setting up camp by their building.
God damn it, San Francisco.
So, dude, my point
not
is
like
still version valid.
Yeah, so it's not like a San Francisco, like, citywide thing. It's this one...
Yeah.
Like advocacy company.
Yeah, it's like we gotta protect the poor animals, but fuck those homeless. Am I right?
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, it's Spike's version 2.
Yeah,
it is very, very San Francisco.
Yeah, I guess the city of San Francisco actually ordered the SPCA to keep its robots off the streets or be fined up to $1,000 per day.
Yeah,
for these things being out on the sidewalks.
Littering.
More just nuisance, I guess.
Yeah.
Because if you remember that story of the robot drowning,
yeah.
I believe it's the same kind of robot.
These robots are not very bright. Did you?
This one just has pictures of dogs and cats on the outside of it. There's pictures there. Because people have found it wandering the sidewalks and, like, taking pictures of it or video of it.
I call him Derpy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they call it K9.
Of course they do.
With a K and a 9.
Yeah. There's a company called Nightscope that makes these that rents them out for $7 an hour, which is less than the cost of a security guard. So, the robots are taking their jobs.
Yeah.
Master, what is my purpose? Why was I built? You're trying to keep the homeless folks out of our sidewalks. Oh, my God.
Oh, there's a fountain. I'll just drown myself in that.
My life is meaningless. So I guess that company has 19 clients in 5 U.S. states, which includes Microsoft, Uber, Juniper Networks, that has them, I guess, actually patrolling their parking lot and office buildings just to try and keep crime down, at least, because it has cameras on it that can actually record whatever's going on if it's nearby.
And now for the exact opposite of that story. Over in London, the London train station is being turned into a homeless shelter for Christmas.
Yep. The London Euston station.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be – they're not going to be trains running on Christmas Day. So they said, hey, we'll bring in about 200 people, homeless people, help them get situated, have a nice place to stay for the day and rest and relax, and bring them some dinner. Get them fed.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. It's, very humanitarian.
Mm.
So, Yeah, good on London. Sometimes they actually do good things.
Yeah. You, I don't see something like this happening in the U.S.
Especially not now.
But, anyway, and now even better news. There is an experimental drug that, after successful trials, has maybe be able to actually stop Huntington's disease, which, yeah, that is a massive plus. Any of you guys got folks with Huntington's disease in your family?
Not as far as I know.
Yeah, so no. For those, it's an inherited condition. It's something that's genetic. And basically what it does is it basically breaks down the nerve cells within the brain over time. It usually starts showing up in the 30s or 40s, and over time it results in progressive symptoms involving movement, cognitive faculties, and psychiatric systems.
Yeah, they describe it here as if you mixed Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and motor neuron disease into one.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
And so, yeah, this drug is, for these trials, was injected into spinal fluid, safely lowered the levels of toxic proteins in the brain, which these proteins had mRNA, messenger RNA. They created damaged proteins that they called Huntington. That's not spelled the same as Huntington's disease, but that built up and then just caused the problem. Hmm. So this drug essentially kills that messenger RNA, so it does not create those damaged proteins. So it's not curing the disease.
Just stopping it from
from getting worse. Hmm. So it's able to stop that, which is at least as good of an option as they have right now.
Yeah.
No, and potentially, being able to continue working on that to find a way to reverse it or prevent it altogether.
Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. News. Yeah. So moving on from there. So Gawker. Gawker doesn't exist anymore, basically.
Thanks, Peter Thiel.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The alumni at Gawker, they have gotten together and they've created a $500,000 Kickstarter so that they can bid for the domain and the archive of the website. So
Peter Thiel's hands.
Yeah.
That would actually bring the site back.
Yeah. So go over there and support that because you need to keep that shit out of Peter Thiel's hands.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Do not let him anywhere near that.
Yeah. Guy's kind of a jerk.
Yeah. And he will use it. Mm. He will use it for nefarious ends.
Yeah.
Yep. Just you wait.
Apparently. Yeah, they're at 73,000 of their 500,000 goal with about 24 days to go.
Yeah, I think they fund.
Okay.
But whether that turns out to be enough, because Peter Thiel has deep pockets, but yeah, he might not even be in the running to buy it, so.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, looking at the comments on this Kickstarter, there are people shit-talking the Kickstarter, which you have to back to actually make a comment.
So
I assume they can just pull their funding and then obviously have their comments still there and just basically troll.
Yeah, pretty much. Ugh. You can pledge a dollar, post a comment, and then withdraw your pledge.
Yep. Wonderful. Well, all right, and now next up in internet news, Apple has purchased Shazam for $400 million.
And nobody still knows why.
Yeah.
Every time I see that in commercials, like, oh, pull up your Shazam app and we'll show you this ad or whatever, it's like, I am not going to pull out my phone for anything.
Nope. Just so much nope. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They want you to download an app for ads?
Well, it's like you open it up, it listens to the ad that's playing on your TV, and it'll bring up like a special offer or the music or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like the audio form of like a QR code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it started off as a music identification service.
Yeah.
I think that's why Apple is buying them. And I don't think they care too much about the ads or the app. I think they want the people.
Yeah, it seems like something that would fit right in with their Siri stuff.
Yeah, because they do a lot of machine learning over there. It's, yeah. That's the kind of talent that Apple wants right now.
Yeah, like that and their radio stuff that they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Apple Music and all that. Mm. So, hey, you could probably have your iPhone app open and be able to just listen to the song that's on the radio or whatever. And it's like, oh, here, you can buy it.
Yeah,
it's
like, just like Google does now.
Yeah.
You know, all right, well, moving on from there, Target has acquired Shipt, which is a same-day delivery service, and they're going to be using it to expand its shipping operations.
Yep. This Shipt was a pretty small sort of same-day grocery delivery service that started in Birmingham, Alabama. I guess initial investment in that was like $60 million. And so they've sold it for $550 million, which is pretty good.
That's a pretty good return.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, Target is hoping to use their operations to be able to expand their own shipping stuff, as well as being able to have sort of the same-day delivery stuff for their own products in more places around the country.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, Target really needs the help. Yeah.
I mean, everybody is trying to compete with Amazon and Best Buy, Walmart, Targets, all that is beefing up their shipping stuff. So they get closer to what Amazon's doing as Amazon is slowly getting worse.
Yep.
I have some Amazon logistics stories I may share at a later date.
Yeah.
We're getting into a weird spot where all of these different retailers have their own shipping service, like their own kind of meal delivery service as well, like the meal cooking stuff, as well as their own media offerings.
Yeah,
because Walmart owns Vudu.
Yeah,
And I forget, Target used to own something. At least I think they might have gotten out of it.
Yeah, they don't have it anymore.
Yeah, but yeah, like all these different retailers are finding other avenues of expanding their operations beyond just the store itself.
Yeah.
Which is smart because retail is not expanding much anymore at this point.
Yeah.
As people are just saying, fuck this, I can get it online. Like,
yeah.
I don't go into Best Buy to buy anything. I use the website for in-store pickup. Which is great because then I don't have to figure out how to show them my like rewards, like my Gamers Club Unlock thing for them to use that. It's like,
it just applies.
Just do it on the site and fuck anything else that goes on.
Yeah. All right. So now we've got the science section of the show. First up, first two stories are from NASA. First of all, NASA is investigating a newly formed island that actually managed to withstand the first few months of its formation, and they're thinking it's going to aid them and searching for past life on Mars.
Yeah, so this is a pretty good little Twitter thing to look through because they sort of detail the different parts of this, but December 2014, an underwater volcano in the South Pacific erupted, sending a bunch of steam ash and all that into the air, and so formed this island that was created out of it, nestled between two older islands. And so there was at one point a little bit after that the water was rising and nearly was trying to essentially kind of destroy this island. But it managed to survive this. And one of the interesting things, the volcano that created this is about 4,600 feet above the surrounding seafloor. So it's a pretty physically
tall,
impressive mountain volcano that's sitting there. So May 2016, Pacific Ocean washed over the southeastern rim of the interior crater wall, opening the crater lake to the ocean, which they thought might be the end of the island. But by June, sort of the sandbar had formed, closing off the crater, while the island continued to evolve. It was more stable by late 2016. The newly formed island, unofficially known as Hunga Tonga Hunga Ha Pi. It's a little bit weird, but yeah, they were initially thinking it was going to last a few months, but now it's potentially going to be around for about 30 years, which is pretty cool. And they think it's going to be potentially a good learning point for diagnosing potential places where life could have formed in Mars, because there are similar kind of volcano island-looking features on the surface of Mars.
Hmm. So they think if you could see
in
that.
The past, when there was water, there might have been similar kind of volcanoes there to help form some of these island-like areas.
Hmm. Yeah, if you can see what these formations end up looking like, you know, here on Earth, and you can look over on Mars and see similar things, it's a good learning tool.
Yeah. Well,
NASA does good work over there.
Oh, yes, they do. Mm. Now, second NASA story, they are using a Google AI machine to discover the eighth planet in a star system.
Yeah, so this is a star system that they knew about for a while, but only saw seven planets there. We've never seen a star system that had as many as we do in our solar system. So they used one of Google's machine learning AIs to help them set this, discover that there's actually another planet in the solar system, the Kepler-90 system, which they all have the original names of Kepler-90b, 90c, 90d, e, f, g, h, and I. But they got a bunch of images and GIFs and such showing these all the different things they use to figure out this stuff. But yeah, it's pretty cool. They're able to use some of this machine learning AI, especially the stuff that Google has, to help them better diagnose some of the images and video feed they're getting. Be able to tell them, oh, hey, there's actually a planet here that you guys have a hard time seeing because it's incredibly, incredibly far away stuff. And also, I found out they have a Tumblr. That's what this is on. Which, yeah, send your NASA slash fishkin over to them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. And then, last science story. Some scientists were looking at some ancient amber deposits, and they found a tick that was actually trapped in one of them. And this seems to suggest that they feasted on feather dinos.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah,
so they see this new species of tick that is 99 million years old, because that's how old the amber is.
Mm-hmm.
It is engorged with blood, though they're not exactly sure how to extract it or do any other sort of analysis on it. But it is also trapped in with a feather from a dinosaur, so they're able to at least have a good idea of some of its feasting habits.
Hmm.
Which the weird thing is they're calling this tick, let's see, where's the name at? It's named after Dracula.
How the hell much blood was in there?
I'm guessing it was, well, it did say engorged, so.
Yeah. Up. Enough that they could notice it was in there.
Very cool, and Jurassic Park.
Yeah, as I said, you want Jurassic Park, because this is how you get Jurassic Park.
Yeah, we don't know how to get at it yet, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's Deinocroton draculi ticks.
Of course.
Yeah, because the scientists are all nerds.
Yeah. Just once, I'd like to see one of these scientists like find a discovery like this and just call it Bob.
Yeah.
Just. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, and now here comes the entertainment portion of our show. And the first is, we now know some of the entries that are going to be joining the 2017 National Film Registry for the U.S. Those are Die Hard, Disney's Dumbo, Superman, and the Goonies, and some other ones.
Yeah, there's every year they put 25 movies into the archives of the Library of Congress. I guess the limit is 10 years old or older.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the list here. Obviously, Die Hard, Dumbo, Field of Dreams is in here. Let's see. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, this 1967 version. La Bamba. Oh, yeah. Memento is in here. The Christopher Nolan really innovative movie.
I got that on Blu-ray. It's great.
Yeah. It's pretty cool that that's in there because obviously it has some big significance of being one of the big nonlinear stories.
Yeah.
What else is in here? Spartacus, the 1960 version.
Yeah, the one directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, with
that movie's famous because it's basically responsible for basically killing the Hollywood blacklist. It was based on a novel by Howard Fast, who was who had been one of the screenwriters for Hollywood and actually went to jail because he refused to testify at the House Fund American Activities Committee. It was the screenplay was written by none other than Dalton Trumbo, who, of course, was also blacklisted from Hollywood, and this was the first one that he had. This was the first screenplay he had produced in a long time that actually had his name on it. And when the film went into production and then went into theaters, when people tried to picket it for being, you know, made by, you know, communists, JFK actually broke through a picket line to see the movie, and that basically just destroyed the whole concept. So
yeah.
And the last of the movies that I think we would know is Titanic.
Yeah.
James Cameron, huge movie. I guess initially people were expecting it to be a huge flop. It cost about $200 million to produce, which was insane at that point. Now it's kind of the norm, and every movie hits, you know, $1 billion. So they make several times their money back.
Mm-hmm.
But this was one that hit, what, $1.5 billion back in 1997, which was unheard of.
Yep. And finally, in other major movie news, the Walt Disney Corporation has officially acquired most of 21st Century Fox's media assets.
Yes.
The entertainment stuff. Fox kept the news and crap like that.
Yeah. And so because of that, we now no longer have to live through a Marvel universe with that studio universe without the X-Men or Spider-Man or Deadpool.
Well, Spider-Man still was Sony.
Yeah. Sony's willing to play ball.
The Sony plays nice with Marvel.
Yeah.
Which I heard a great suggestion that Deadpool should be the only character that knows about this. Everybody else should not be aware that anything has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a Deadpool thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It also means that Disney now owns all of the Star Wars again.
Yeah, they also own The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
They also own Family Guy, you know, American Dad, all that stuff, King of the Hill.
Yeah.
I don't know if Futurama is also in that, or if that's Matt Groening.
Yeah, I think that was Groening himself.
Yeah, because they took it to other networks.
No, Futurama was part of the deal, and Disney was particularly interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to bring it back.
Yay! And see, since this is Disney, you know, they won't have to worry about, you know, funding it.
No.
Because that was basically the problem that Futurama, after Futurama came back, that was the big problem it had. But, you know, those types of animated shows are expensive to produce.
Mm. Well, they were. Not anymore.
No.
Yeah, so they also get FX, the National Geographic channels, and Fox's regional sports network. So, like, there's Fox Sports Ohio, I assume, mm-hmm. is part of this now.
Yeah.
They also get, at least, let's see, Star India, Fox's interest in Sky, which is a big UK sports company I guess Fox was going to buy the rest of them, so potentially Disney could just buy the rest of that. And they tend to do, they do a lot of the F1 broadcasts over in the UK that just gets reproduced over here, potentially with new commentary, or I think ESPN's doing that now, so obviously Disney is in on that as well. And also, they get the majority control of Hulu.
Yay, I guess.
Which...
Well, they were going to start their own anyway, so...
Yeah, which I think they still end up doing.
And now they just have this huge amount of stuff for their own streaming service that...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's all the Disney stuff. Here's all the Fox stuff, all the FX stuff, the National Geographic stuff. Yeah, that's a ton of it. Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars. Hmm. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's basically now Disney, Warner Brothers, and Sony. That's those are the big three now.
And NBC Universal.
Yeah.
And that ain't going to last much longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty confident that one of the other three are going to devour it pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think Sony's probably looking to make a Disney with the mouse, deal with the mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's monopolies, folks.
Yeah. That's a thing now.
Yeah. But,
yeah. And what Fox has now is Fox News, Fox Business, the Fox Broadcasting stuff, Fox Sports, Fox Television Stations Group. I assume that's like the local
the
news
network.
Stuff.
Yeah, networks.
Yeah.
And there's sports networks, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, Fox Deportes, and the Big Ten Network.
Mm-hmm.
Which, the all the weird stuff that's happening with this is, as far as ESPN is concerned, because they're basically doubling down on television sports stuff, which has been their big problem. And they're obviously also doing their own digital service, which some of the stuff probably will not get into that. So that's all getting muddied up, but for pretty much every other part of the Disney empire, it's pretty good news.
Yeah, I think Disney got the better end of the deal on this one, just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they own more of our childhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty soon everything is going to be in the Disney vault, and yeah.
And surprisingly, The Simpsons called this.
Yep.
Is there anything that The Simpsons haven't predicted at this point?
And oh, well, I'll find out. Disney has Simpsons now?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they own
Wonderful.
All that Fox stuff.
Yep. Oh, Fox. Boy.
So, yeah.
Well, in other entertainment news, we got a teaser for Sony's Spider-Verse movie, which is fully CG, and wow.
Yeah, this is... Okay, this looks amazing. not going to lie, I love the look of this.
Yeah, so this is Miles Morales, isn't it?
Yeah.
Miles All Morales, right. as well as a bunch of other Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Yep. Is
the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
Is Gwen in there too?
Yeah, I think she is in there a little bit.
Yeah.
It mainly centers around Miles Morales.
Yeah.
And the look looks really cool. It's kind of it looks a little bit like stop motion, but it's obviously CG.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is being directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who did the Lego movie in 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they are very much able to make a fun and amazing movie.
Yeah.
Didn't they also do Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
I don't know.
Pretty sure they did. But anyway. But yeah, that looks good. And
okay,
yeah.
They did that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And they're directing, or they were going to direct the Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
But that's Ron Howard now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm loving this. I'm loving to see it. Man, I cannot wait to see the rage from some of the comic book nerds. Because whenever neck-bearded comic book nerds whine about white genocide, it makes my dick hard. So, all right, moving on. Two great shows have now gotten confirmed for second season. Jessica Jones and The Punisher. Jessica Jones, in particular, gets a teaser. Looks good.
It's going to be returning in March.
Yep.
March 8th will be streaming on Netflix. And the other one here is The Punisher has announced for a second season. I need to sit down this weekend and watch that first season.
Yeah, now that we're done with Game of the Year stuff, I can actually do other things that aren't just, hey, play the thing that came out recently.
Yeah. And finally, last story of the night, we got the first proper trailer for Ready Player One.
Yes. Now,
first things first, yes, it looks good. I will admit that the acting is a little wooden for me.
Yeah, in some bits. Halliday was, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go so well, but okay.
Yeah. It looks like
a movie set in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. It looks like plot-wise they're kind of streamlining some of it. I think they're taking the gate part out of it.
I don't think so. I think they're in there.
All right.
Because I saw in the first teaser they're at the they've got the crystal keys. So.
All right. But yeah. So basically, that trailer is just one giant pile of find the Easter egg.
Yeah, it's like Easter eggs everywhere.
Yeah, also, like hey, there's the Battletoads.
Yeah, Battletoads, Chucky, Tracer from Overwatch.
There's the fucking boombox.
Uh huh.
Just like the sharp boombox, like that everybody knows.
Yeah.
Iron Giant, the Gundam. Yeah.
Although I have found out no Ultraman confirmed.
No, but that's fine because you got the Gundam.
I'm sure they can find more mech licenses to get in there.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that whole ending sequence is. Just like, hey, what's weird, obscure mecha that we can use for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, well, yeah, well, the book's been out long enough, so I can probably, so I can say that the Ultraman thing would be kind of important for them to get in there because it was a big plot point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah,
it's easy to do that in a book where you don't have to pay for that just to say Ultraman.
Yeah.
Whereas in a movie, you kind of have to just have all the licenses and
yeah.
Like
again, you know,
and
they can't just you know show everything in the trailer. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
possible it's there, and we just haven't seen it. So
yeah, but so yeah, I will admit they've gotten a lot of the aspects right. The view of the stacks is basically spot on.
It's pretty much what I imagined them to be.
As for the movie poster, now folks have looked at this and noticed one glaring problem with it. Now, it's not the actual composition of the poster, because that basically just mirrors the book cover.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's, you look a little close there, and, you notice our hero there, his right leg seems to be twice the length of his body.
Yeah, I'm not sure how this happened.
Yeah, the internet obviously took to it.
Yeah.
Sure, like that picture, the little bit from Tim and Eric, where it's the men with the really long legs. as well as people just doing Photoshops of him in the red carpet with his long legs. but they also have a bit from the guy that actually did the art.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. And tries to talk about body composition, all that stuff, motion, all that. And tries to argue that it is pretty much on, it's just a weird angle. Because his right leg is straight, whereas it kind of looks angled, like it's bent.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think they'll just end up redoing it.
Probably.
No point having the fucking poster be the thing that people get mad about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, especially when, you know, the movie's looking so good otherwise, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well. But, yeah, I'm expecting this movie to do good.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm still holding out hope and hoping that Steven Spielberg doesn't screw this up too bad. I mean, yes, the trailers look great, but... There's still a million ways it could go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Ernie Klein was actually pretty happy with the screenplay that was put out, so chances are it's probably going to be pretty good. So.
Okay. Mm. Well, I do believe we have a show.
I believe so.
All right. So I would like to remind our listeners that if you want to write into the show, have something you want to ask us, a question, maybe you want to send us your 1,000-page political manifesto about how the British royal family controls the sugar cartels, something like that. You can write into us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it in the show notes. And on top of iTunes, you can also hear our little cast on Apple Podcasts, RSS, Google Play, archive.org, pretty much any place where completely unscripted garbage shows like ours are made. And so, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. It's time for me to go play more Neo. For Philippe Bonapo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logia, I'd like to say goodnight.